This morning, I want to continue the series that we've been in about Jesus, his life, and ministry. And so I'd like to ask you to turn to John chapter 6, verses 32 through 36. John chapter 6, verses 32 through 36. If you have trouble finding it, it'll be on the screen for you. In this passage, Jesus is continuing to answer those who, you remember Jesus fed all those people. We came up with maybe 20,000 men, women, and children. Jesus fed all those people with, what, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? And so after that, there were some people that decided to follow him. And Jesus said that you are following me not because you're interested in what I'm teaching or preaching. You want more bread, okay? More bread. A few weeks back, or longer than that now, I had talked to you about how I like bread. One of our younger adults made a video out of that, and it was pretty funny. It said, you know, I'm up here saying, I like bread, and he just took it from there. You know, they've since moved to North Carolina, and I said, you know, I'm going to hate to see you go, but I feel safer now that, you know, I can say things and you won't make a meme out of it. And he said, I'll watch on the internet. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the bread. And these people were following Jesus because they wanted more bread. Now, people were hungry back then. You know, they lived hand to mouth year round, and they were hungry. And so if there is a prophet who is out teaching in the, you know, the countrysides, the highways and byways, the country lanes, and he is feeding people fish and bread, I might want to stay with him. You know, I might want to follow the bread wagon. And Jesus confronted some of these people and said, you're not following me because you're interested in my preaching and who I am. You are following me because you want more bread. And so this morning, I don't know if you're up for it or not, but I was thinking, you know, we could, you know, beat on the table, beat on the pew, more bread, more bread. We want more bread. That's what this audience, in a sense, was doing. Jesus went across the lake, they ran around the shore, and they said to him, when'd you get here? And he said, I know you're not here to hear me. You want more bread. And so Jesus takes this opportunity to show them how he is the bread of life, how he is the bread from heaven, how he is the true bread. So he used an object lesson, which is a great teaching tool. Jesus took this opportunity where the people were hungry for bread to teach them what they really needed. They thought that they needed more bread, but Jesus knew that they needed him. And so he compares himself to the bread that they were fed. Jesus compares himself to the bread that Moses, they said Moses gave them, but Jesus clarifies that no, it wasn't Moses that gave it to you. It's God that gave you the bread. So he uses this object lesson of bread. And so we're going to be talking about bread for another few weeks. Yesterday we had our picnic out of the state park. JC and Paul, I'm not sure who made it, but there was a ton of bread there. And Paula came to me and said, we're not taking any bread home. So y'all need to eat all this bread. And evidently, there's a lot of other bread lovers because I didn't even get any. I didn't get there quick enough. So there are some others who, like the Israelites in our story, love bread. I want you to think back to a time that you were really hungry. Somebody might say, right now, as a matter of fact, I'm really hungry. No, but I want you to think back to a time when you were really physically hungry. Can you think of a time you were physically hungry? Some of us haven't missed any meals. Some of us have missed some meals. You remember ever being really hungry? You ever remember being really thirsty? You ever been really thirsty? Like you were doing something outside and you forgot to bring water and you couldn't get water? You ever been really hungry or thirsty? I remember when I was a kid, it seemed like the time between after school snack and supper, I thought I was going to die of hunger before mom finished supper. You know, we got two little cookies when we got home from school, and then it seemed like that next 2 or 3 hours was just, she was torturing us. But I remember being hungry. I remember when I started college, and I didn't go to the meal or whatever, didn't have anything in the refrigerator, didn't have any spare money, and I remember kind of being hungry. You remember being thirsty? I went dove hunting one time, and it was really hot. Didn't think I was going to be out very long. I was out almost the whole day, and I didn't have any water with me. I drank 2 giant Gatorades and nearly had heat exhaustion from just not having enough. I couldn't drink enough, and I couldn't drink it fast enough. And the only thing I could think about was something to drink. You ever been there? You ever had some kind of experience like that where we really hungry, really thirsty? You know, we have to think hard about it. But you know, in other parts of the world, Christians don't have to think that hard. There are other people that suffer hunger and thirst on the daily, on the regular. And we need to thank God for what we have and be willing to share. Amen? So let's look at our passage. Let me tell you one of the worst things I've seen about thirst. I was flipping through channels. I have no idea what show it was or if it was even a nice show. I'm just flipping through channels, and they were punishing this guy by sending him out in the desert, forcing him to walk, and they gave him a quart of motor oil so that when he got so thirsty and he started losing his mind, he would drink the motor oil and die. That's cruel, isn't it? That is cruel. But I'll never forget that. I thought, you know, how cruel it would be to be so thirsty and the only thing you have is something that will kill you, but you're so thirsty, you drink it anyway, and you die. Well, I don't know why I had to tell you that one, but really hungry, really thirsty. Now, the people were thinking about bread. You may be thinking about bread right now. But while Jesus was talking about, while they were thinking about loaves and rolls, flatbread, Jesus was thinking about spiritual things. They were thinking about earthly things, and Jesus was thinking about spiritual things. In verse 32 and following, it says, Jesus then said to them, this is the crowd that followed him around the shore, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Who is that? That's Jesus, right? He's talking about himself. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. May God bless the reading of his word this morning. So, they had just said in previous verses that Moses had given their fathers bread, and Jesus corrected them and said, actually, it was God that gave you bread. It didn't come from Moses. It didn't come from a man. Moses was not a miracle man of himself, in and of himself, but he was a representative of God. And so the bread that they were given in the wilderness, the manna, did not come from Moses himself, but in fact, it came from God. But they had said the wrong thing. They had said that Moses had given it to them, and they wanted Jesus to give them another sign. You know, Moses gave us our father's bread in the wilderness. What will you do? And Jesus had just fed 20,000 people. Some of those people were in this crowd. And it just showed the power of unbelief. They were only interested in the bread, the physical bread. But Jesus uses the bread that they wanted, the bread from Moses, or they thought was from Moses, and he talked about himself, the true bread that was in front of them. Look with me in 32 again. He said, "Truly, truly." Now, anytime you read that in the scripture, Jesus is trying to make a point, right? Everything that Jesus says is true, but when he says truly, truly, that should get our attention, shouldn't it? And so he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father," and that's God, "gives you the true bread from heaven." Now remember, they were thinking earthly bread. And Jesus is trying to help them to see that he is the bread that they really need. They're thinking about their physical needs. Jesus is talking about their greatest need, their spiritual need. And let me just remind you, your greatest need is not physical, but spiritual. Your greatest need is spiritual, not physical. You can go hungry, but you better not die without Jesus. You can suffer in this world, but don't leave here without Jesus. Your greatest need, my greatest need, the greatest need of all of those who are in our community and in our world, their greatest need is not bread or water. Their greatest need is Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying we don't need bread and water, and I'm sure some of you are already thinking about what kind of bread and water you're going to have after church. That's okay. Physically, we need bread and water and hopefully some other things. But spiritually, we need Jesus. And they are talking about the physical bread. Here he says, "My Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Who is the true bread? It's Jesus. He's standing there right in front, right? I like that. Who said that? Good job. Good job. Jesus is standing right in front of them, and he is saying, "I am the true bread from heaven." They're still thinking about manna. They're still thinking about rolls and flatbread and sunbeam or bagels, whatever it is. But Jesus is trying to help them to understand, "I'm what you need the most. I'm what you really need. Bread will satisfy you for a little while. I, Jesus, will satisfy you forever." So he says, "I am," he says, "the Father gives you the true bread." Then he says in verse 33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Now, who is that again? That's also Jesus, right? So he's talking about himself. So he calls himself the true bread in verse 32. And then in verse 33, he calls himself the bread of God, the bread who has come down from heaven. Now, the manna that the Israelites had in the wilderness, that was bread that came from heaven. But this is even better. This is God's Son who has come from heaven. So again, they're thinking physical. Jesus is speaking spiritually. And notice what he says he does. He said he came down from heaven. Now, in a little while, that's a sermon down the road. In that sermon, it's going to talk about how Jesus gives life to the world. But here he's saying that he has come down from heaven. And that's going to be controversial because the Pharisees are going to resist that idea. They're going to say, "How can you have come from heaven? Aren't you from Nazareth? Aren't you from Reno, Texas? How could you have come from heaven? Who do you think you are?" But Jesus says of himself that he is from heaven. He has come down from heaven. And then he also says that his purpose is to give life to the world. Not necessarily physical life, but spiritual life. Jesus brings spiritual life to people, to you and to me. To know Jesus, to believe in Jesus, is to have spiritual life, eternal life. He gives life to the world. And so Jesus is affirming that what God has sent now in himself is greater than what God sent to the Israelites in the wilderness. Jesus is greater than any bread. He is greater than anything and everything. Jesus is the best there is, the most important. Now look in verse 34 through 35. He says, "Sir," in verse 34 they say, this is the crowd, the people he's teaching, some of whom are just there for more bread. They said to him, whether they understood it or not, "Sir, give us this bread always. We want this bread. Whatever bread you're talking about, Jesus, we want this bread. Give it to us always," they say in verse 34. And Jesus told them that the kind of bread that he offers is different from any other bread. He says in verse 35, "I am the bread of life." They're thinking about bread, they're thinking about manna, and Jesus is telling them, "I am the bread of life." He is who they really need. He is who we all really need. It's Jesus. Now, I'm going to go on a little tirade here for a minute. Understand, I'm not against these things. But what you don't need is a church building. What you don't need is a Sunday school class. What you don't need is to give in the offering. What you don't need is good works. All those things are good and necessary, but there is no substitute for Jesus. And people do that. People focus on what church they go to. People focus on the music style of the church that they want to go to. They focus on the small group, the Sunday school class. Some think they're going to heaven because they gave money to the church. Some people think they're going to heaven because they hardly miss a Sunday. But those things are not what we need the most. It's Jesus himself. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's Jesus is what you need. Now, those other things are good and important, but they're no substitute for believing in Jesus. The worship center did not die on a cross for your sins. The fellowship, the potluck didn't die on the cross and rise again for your sins. The offering plate, all those things, it's Jesus that you need. And Jesus is what the church is about. If you go to a church and they don't talk about Jesus, you got to go to another church. Because church is about Jesus. If you ever hear anybody say, I think they talk too much about Jesus at that church. Have their head examined. I don't know if I'm disappointing you or thrilling you, but it's all about Jesus. He's the bread of life. He didn't tell them, you need to go to temple more. You need to give more to the poor. He said, "I am the bread of life." Look at this. "Whoever comes to me," and that coming to me means whoever believes in me, believes in my teaching, who embraces who I am, whoever comes to me, look at the promise here, "shall not hunger." Look at the next promise. "Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Those people had been fed by Jesus, but they were hungry again. Jesus was trying to help them understand that, spiritually speaking, if they come to believe in him and who he is and what he has done for them or going to do for them, that he will satisfy their greatest need. Your greatest need is to be right with God. And the only way to be right with God is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the only way to heaven. He is the only way to be right with God. And he tells them, I am the bread of life. You need my sustenance spiritually more than you need anything else. And he says, when you come to me, again, we're talking spiritually, you shall not hunger and you shall not thirst. You know what that means? It means when you believe in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you are completely right with God, as is. When you believe in Him and you make Him your personal Lord and Savior, you are spiritually complete in Him. You'll never hunger spiritually. You want to grow. You want to know Him more, but you are made right with Him. You don't have to doubt anymore. You don't have to be afraid of death anymore. You don't have to be afraid of facing God anymore. Jesus makes us right with God. And he says that the person who comes to him, and this is a big promise, but Jesus can keep this promise. Whoever comes to him shall not hunger. The people were eating bread and they got hungry again faster than they wanted to. But he says, when you come to me, when you believe in me, spiritually speaking, you will not hunger again. He will meet your greatest need to be right with God. 100%, 110%. You will lack nothing. Now, like I said, you need to grow. You need to mature. You need to be useful for the kingdom. But when you come to Jesus, when you truly come to Jesus, He satisfies God's wrath and anger toward sin and toward you. It's completely satisfied. And the same thing with thirst. Spiritually, you'll never thirst again because He is going to satisfy your thirst spiritually. We're talking about you come to Jesus, He will not disappoint. You come to Jesus and He will meet all of your spiritual needs. And He'll do it so well that you'll not need to ever hunger or thirst spiritually again. When Jesus forgives, He completely forgives. When He makes you right before God, He makes you right before God. When He justifies you and sanctifies you and He puts His Spirit in you, He does it right. And He does it completely in Him. What we're talking about here, theologically speaking, you know, since I graduated from the big school and all, amen. I want to give you all some return on your investment. Theologically, this doctrinal idea is the sufficiency of Christ. The sufficiency of Christ. Jesus is sufficient. Now, sufficient to us sounds like He just meets the bare minimum. But that's not what it means. It means that Jesus is completely qualified and able to save you from your sins. He is completely qualified and able to make you right with God. He is completely qualified and able to give you eternal life. He doesn't just partway do things. He doesn't just come to the edge and not be able to finish His work. Jesus completely completes His work. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. But when Jesus forgives, He forgives all your sin. He leaves nothing on the table. He leaves nothing undone. It's all done. Sufficient. So this is good news. If you're thinking about becoming a Christian, I want you to know that you can completely trust Jesus to keep His promises and to save you. If you're a Christian already, maybe some of you have been a Christian a long time, I want you to know that you are complete in Christ. You don't have to worry about judgment day. You don't have to worry about losing your salvation. You don't have to worry about where you're going when you die. You don't have to worry if you're right with God or not. You are complete in Christ. He is completely sufficient. He more than meets your greatest spiritual needs. Jesus is sufficient. And so, as I close, I was hoping to stick with Dave today, but I got a little wound up. Do you remember the commercial? It says Snickers, and their little phrase is, or their slogan was, Snickers, what does it do? It satisfies, right? Amen. Snickers, it really satisfies. And I like Snickers. I have some in my refrigerator. My grandma got me hooked on frozen Snickers. Amen. Y'all like to eat frozen Snickers? Yeah. I love a frozen Snickers. Y'all seen the Snickers commercial? Now I'm going to have a Snickers. So are you. Y'all seen the Snickers commercial where the guy's really cranky and they give him a Snickers and he turns out okay? That's me. Ask Lisa. I've been around people and I think, that guy needs a Snickers. Now, as funny as that is, there is no comparison. Jesus, the Savior, spiritually satisfies. Amen? He spiritually satisfies. And you can have confidence that if you come to believe in Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, He will save you. He will forgive you. He will make you right with God. He will clean your house. Not your house, but your life. Your life. He will clean your life. He will meet your greatest need. You know, some people aren't looking for bread and water. Some people are looking for love and acceptance. Some people are trying to satisfy themselves in worldly possessions and purchases and things. I'm here to tell you, the Bible says, in my own experience, which is nothing compared to the Bible, the things of this world will not satisfy you. You will not find satisfaction in the things of this world, but you will find spiritual satisfaction in Jesus Christ. And so I hope that you have believed in Jesus. And if you haven't, I'd love to tell you about Him this morning or any other time. If you're a Christian today, I hope you've been reminded that Jesus has completely accepted you, loved you, forgiven you, made you right with God, given you eternal life, and given you a more abundant life here on earth. You are complete in Christ. I know a lot of Christians who still feel like they're not good enough for God. And that's true if you're trying to do it on your own. But in Christ, you are fully loved and accepted and forgiven. And you need nothing else. You just need Jesus. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Do you believe that? I don't think he was just trying to give a good speech in front of people who wanted bread. I think he meant it. And I know that he has satisfied me spiritually. And I appreciate it so much. So many times we allow other things to be most important in our lives. Jesus is to be most important. Let's pray.